the next step in the sutta on mindfulness of breathing is the it's called gladdening the mind. Gladdening the mind, I breathe in. Gladdening the mind, I breathe out. That sense of bringing delight to the mind, brightening it with these qualities of well-being, a very necessary part of the development of the mind. It's not just kind of bashing away at the mind and making it submit. There's that necessity to really learn how to allow the mind to really delight in the practice, in the Dhamma, in stillness, because it's such a on a certain level, it's the antithesis of what we're familiar with. We're familiar with finding our happiness, pleasure, delight in the world outside, around us, outside us, and even if it's sort of an internal happiness, it's still sort of outside in the sense that it's focused on the realm of thought and proliferation, movement, propping up fantasy, ideals, sense of self. And the gladdening of the mind through the meditation and through Dhamma is one of relinquishment, of settling, of a sense of contentment and peace. So these are qualities to be bringing up for reflection, or remembering. At this point, there's not, there doesn't need to be a lot of reflection, investigation, thought processes going on. This is more the feeling tone of the internal illumination of the mind itself. The earlier stages of the practice are much more actively engaged in this bringing up of the objects and working with the body, relaxing the body, working with the mental states of piti and sukha. This is a bit more subtle, and part of it is actually taking the time. in the sequence of things, one can only speculate, of course, what the Buddha was intending for us, but logically, what it means to me is that this is situated in a after experiencing the mind, there's this say developing of the piti and sukha on the feeling level. Then those investigations of on the feeling perception, the mental constituents, the jitta sankhara, And then one starts to go toward more to the basic foundations of the mind, experiencing the mind. But there's always this need to kind of brighten the mind, gladden the mind. Our mind, it's just so easy for the mind to lose balance, and if it gets too absorbed into experience and investigation, then it's easy to lose, you know, to get caught up in the details of things. And one needs to brighten the mind again to bring it back to a point of balance. And this is a subtler balance, say, than before. You're always sort of working with balance, but you just notice in terms, as this process continues, this is just a finer degree of balance, a fine tuning of the mind, and that balance of say, like samatha vipassana, tranquility and insight. The whole path is always, you're always working with those two elements of the tranquility aspect, the emotional tone of the mind, and then the vipassana, the insight, the penetration, the grasp that the mind has in terms of knowledge and vision. These are two kind of aspects of the mind that need to be, you're working with balancing those two. So that gladdening the mind, and this is, as you continue the process, it's always, you're always fine-tuning that balance, so that, you know, having, you know, spent time at the investigating the citta sankhara and calming the citta sankhara, experiencing the mind, pulling back to the emotional tone again, fine-tuning that, brightening it, bringing it up to the level of the, say, the knowledge. So this is where these two different aspects of the mind, and what cloud us or entrap us, that the idiom that the Buddha uses of bound by ignorance and obstructed by desire, these two, ignorance is the on the knowledge realm, the, say, the grasp that the mind has of on its kind of rational level or intellectual level, and the desire realm, the say the emotional realm, obstructed by desire, is, you know, that is worked with through the tranquility aspects, the samadhi aspects, the settling of the mind, to bring it to a point of of settling, of composure, being composed in a where it's not being moved and shaken by the emotional and desire driven objects and objects of attention. So to you know, those are broad brush tendencies, but as a recognizing those two realms, then you're working with them alongside each other, so that the gladdening of the mind is allowing the mind to compose and settle on emotionally, in the sense of the desire of mind is satisfied when it is happy, and as we refine that and settle it, then the mind is able to deepen its concentration, deepen its composure, and deepen its one-pointedness, and then able to investigate and see through the traps that are our lack of understanding of the true nature of things, our avijja, our ignorance, is tripping us up on. And the opposite, of course, is true as well. The more clearly we see through things, the more clearly we're able to have an insight into the true nature of things. Then that facilitates the ability of the mind to settle, to be happy, to be able to set aside its sort of restless worrying and grasping, and be able to just allow desire to fall away, and that is a so working on those two elements of bound by ignorance and obstructed by desire, those two elements of the samatha and the vipassana aspects are being balanced and being fine-tuned and brought into focus to see what is helpful, so that the gladdening of the mind is very helpful. If there's this constant sort of driving to just figure things out, figure out the dependent origination, or figure out the Four Noble Truths and its 12 aspects. There can be some very clear insights come, but oftentimes it's not, the mind isn't left with a brightness if it's not gladdened along with it, if it's not able to settle. So that finding the ways that help to bring a gladness to the mind. And certainly one of the easiest ways, or most useful ways, is to step back and review the whole process of mindfulness of breathing. To go back and whether it's on each session, or from time to time, or through during a particular meditations. One goes back and starting from the very beginning of the first step of mindfulness of breathing, and breathing in a short breath, he knows he breathes in a short breath. Breathing out a short breath, he knows he breathes out a short breath. Breathing in a long breath, meditator knows he breathes in a long breath. Breathing out a long breath, the meditator knows they're breathing out a long breath. Just those basic foundation, the start, the beginning. And in reviewing that, And continuing through the different steps of Anapanasati, there's a confidence arises, a happiness, a certainty in the mind, a sense of appreciation of those very processes whereby one's been practicing and training. And that brings up a gladness. There's a gladness in the mind that arises with confidence, with a re-establishing of clarity of what one's doing, so that there's this sense of gladness arising. One can take maybe different objects as well, depending, say, just like that, where the the attention has been more geared to the analytical and the discursive, I'm well, not really discursive, but maybe a bit more analytical and withdrawing attention from the analytical and turning it to either the feeling tone itself of just gladness. I would say that that's when one cultivates the meditations on loving kindness, you don't really take. Ideally, what one's doing is taking the emotional tone of the heart as the object of meditation, as opposed to a discursive element of sending loving kindness to this person, that person, that quarter, and that quarter, and one maybe starts in that way, but the object of attention, the focus of attention is the actual feeling within the heart, so that taking an object of gladness, a mood of gladness, bringing up that sense of delight. And some of it can be just the remembering, with appreciation, gratitude, and the teaching or the truth of the Buddhist teaching. And that has a power to bring a sense of of gladness and delight, delighting in Dhamma. Or taking an object, some other object that brings up a sense of gladness and well-being, that taking the mood of brightness and just allowing the mind to dwell in that brightness. And as one's breathing in, really imbuing the breath with this brightness, suffusing the body and the mind with this brightness, this quality of this gladness that is associated with this brightness, brightening the mind. Really, as the breath comes in, really allowing that brightness and delight in Dhamma to be coming into the heart and staying, settling, radiating from that point, breathing out this brightness, this being established. the meditation working from a point, a center of a brightness. That's and as the association of gladness, of delight, that is there. So that working with that and allowing that to establish the quality, the tone of in a very positive sense. It brightens the mind in a way that is helpful for the continuing reflections. Because as we continue to work with the mindfulness of breathing, then there are, you know, there's an increased need for a refinement of investigation, a stillness and clarity to really be able to discern things in their true nature. So in order to do that, that returning to a place of stillness and brightness, gladness, gladdening the mind, is a necessary part of that process, and bringing the mind to that point. As we cultivate the practice, you recognize how much this result of the practice is dependent, a positive, useful result of the practice relies on these qualities of gladness, gladdening, brightening the mind. The Buddha talks about it in many, many places. How these positive elements are a necessary part of the cultivation and development of insight. And there's, it comes up in many, many places, this beginning with, I guess it's a similar root in the Anapanasati Sutta, the word for gladdening is apipamodaya, apipamodaya. And then in the majority of discourses that the Buddha talks about these different positive mental states, the beginning one is pamoja. So it's similar, same sort of root, pamoja, and it means gladness, well-being. There's many sources for that gladness to arise. One of the most, probably one of the most well-known discourses is one where the Buddha begins with sila, or virtue. There's others, so the beginning point is faith, or satta. Another with yoniso manasikara, with wise attention, that attending skillfully to things. And that in the discourse where in one of the discourses that the Buddha teaches on this sequence, it's quite natural that someone with virtue is going to feel a sense of gladness, One doesn't have to force gladness to arise because of virtue. The gladness is a natural a result of the when the condition of skillful virtue has been established. And then he continues in that vein of the, say, for one with gladness, one doesn't have to try to force joy to arise. Joy is a natural result of gladness. And so that because of this, with Pamoja as the basis, and then joy is a natural result. And with joy as a with Bhiti as a base, and one doesn't have to try to force tranquility to arise, or when tranquility is a natural result of joy. And the same with tranquility as the base. One doesn't worry and expect sort of be fraught with expectation that happiness is not going to result. It's a natural result that happiness will arise from the mind that is tranquil. And similarly, the concentration arises from happiness. It's not as if one has to force the mind into concentration. It's the natural result of the happy mind is that it settles into concentration, settles into samadhi. This is a natural sequence of events that takes place. And the Buddha goes on, continues in sequences of through samadhi, the arising of knowledge and vision of the way things truly are. And similarly, just like that, but one doesn't have to worry that knowledge and vision of things as they truly are is you know, when is it ever going to arise? Because it's a natural result of the samadhi. Let's say these are one doesn't have to worry with expectation what will be the result of it. It's the natural result of the concentrated mind, the settled mind, is to see things clearly. And similarly, the natural result of seeing things as they truly are is to be established in disenchantment. That disenchantment naturally arises with the that sense of seeing things clearly. And the natural result of disenchantment, of nipita, the natural result of nipita, it's normal course, in the normal course of events, what nipita comes to fruition in liberation, in freedom. This is a natural event, and the Buddha talks about it in the sense of the, you know, when the rain falls on the mountaintops, when the rain, and you see that in tall mountains have their own sort of weather patterns. The clouds sort of cluster around them. Now, when the rain falls on those mountaintops, and the water comes down and it fills the little streamlets, and it fills the little cracks and crevices, and it fills the little water courses, and then it fills the little creeks, and then it fills the little lakes and ponds, and then it fills the rivers. And it's this is a natural. This is nature functioning in its in its way. This is the way it works. And so that that attending to the causes, attending to things in their appropriate sequence, looking after wise reflection, looking after faith, looking after virtue, and putting attention on the practice, and bringing the mind to gladness, gladdening the mind. This is a important part of the meditation, gladdening the mind, finding ways to gladden it. And when I think one of the things of when we say gladdening the mind is also just learning how to brighten it and not letting it drift into dullness, and not letting it wander and fade diffuse sort of mental states aren't clear. And you know, part of that is again where the investigations, that wise attention, yoniso manasikara, and insight practice, turning toward more reflective, investigative insight practices, but also turning attention to what is it that helps to settle? What helps to gladden it? What helps? What does the mind take interest in as an object of meditation? How do you make the breath something that it's gladdened with, gladdened by? How can it receive the breath in a way that it's not bored by it, it's not inured to it, it's gladdened by the breath. So that taking interest and finding ways to both energize and balance the energy of the mind. This is the trick of meditation is always working with balance, finding the balance so that there's a clear sense of the mind turning to the object, returning to the meditation in a rejuvenated way, and sometimes that rejuvenation takes place through the reflective, investigative aspects, and sometimes it's through the emotional and that stepping back from the desire realm, and that. The composure of tranquility, taking an object of stillness, and directing attention to that, sustaining attention on that object of stillness within the mind. Expanding that point of stillness so that it envelops one. And that does this, and then you find the mind really brightening, because it's one is really being surrounded by this quality of stillness. Because the mind is again, it's so used to movement and proliferation. But if one is turning attention to stillness and falling into sort of an abyss of darkness, that doesn't, that's not there, that's not a balance, is it? Then that one needs to learn how to move the mind in a way that it brightens. You have to that it's gladdened by the movement, so that the movement is in finding an object that of reflection and investigation that it takes interest in. And it can be glad. When we start practicing meditation and reflecting on Dhamma, I mean, it can be gladdened by, especially as one's continuing on this practice, it can be gladdened by some pretty strange things. I mean, in the sense that contemplation of corpses can be really gladdening. It's a really settle the mind, really make the mind bright. The other night I was talking with Mechi Sansani, and she was saying she'd just spent time down in the south of Thailand and took a bunch of volunteers to help out, and going and helping to both helping people that were survivors, and then helping people who are helping to deal with some of with the bodies and collect helping to collect bodies. And she said it was really wonderful. This everybody was exactly the same. Whether they were young or old or Asian or Farang, or whether they were men or women, they were all bloated and stinking. It was great. That sense of gladdening the mind through you think, how could that be gladdening? But it really brings you back to a sense, cutting the desire mind, really cutting through to desire mind and letting that desire mind drop away, and that nattering mind that's looking for gratification and satisfaction, and never able to be happy, and that sense of having something to focus attention on or reflect on that cuts through that. And that was a so that the objects that we take may not, by the logic of our defilements, may not seem to be something that's gladdening. When we talk about gladdening, it's not just sort of looking for some sort of nice Pollyanna-ish sort of way of viewing the world. And, aren't things lovely, isn't this? Don't we live in a lovely world? Aren't I glad? Sometimes, I mean, sometimes it is, taking loving kindness, and really, everything should be applied with loving kindness. But sometimes it's that really looking at things in different ways, taking an object that, just like that example of, bloated corpses. It's not your doesn't immediately come to mind as a gladdening tool, but when it's brought in and allowed to the mind embraces that, then it's just the mind becomes very bright and gladdened, because wow, that's really the way it is. We go around trying to clinging to life and clinging to beauty and clinging to at least trying to make ourselves acceptable, No, it's in the end, it's you can't. It's all going to fall apart. And then there's the sense of gladdening that comes up, and his mind is brightened by that. And it's like the painting of the Chinese painting of the. Of the Chinese monk, of the hands over the head, and sort of, oh joy, to know that there's, just to know that everything is suffering. You think, how can that be joyful? How can that be gladdening? But it's when it's seen with Dhamma, and then it's gladdening. The mind is gladdened by. Being able to take on that reality fully. And so that taking on of that reality fully needs a certain settling as well. You can't be approaching it from the desire mind. It has to be brought from the mind of Dhamma, the mind that is settling. And so these balance. Working with balance and gladdening the mind, allowing the mind or it's like giving the mind the opportunity to settle by turning attention to that which is gladdening. To offer that for reflection this morning.
Namayang huvatakasaya sathukarang thamase.
Sama.